But this morning, as I stood before the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it that you would like me to really share with your people that would be helpful, that would be important for them? And he kept coming back to 2 Kings. And as I was reading 2 Kings, I said, Lord, what is it that you really want me to share with your people? That I'm reading it and I don't. And finally, when God speaks to you, sometimes you don't speak to you in words. You're just a knowing. Just a knowing falls on you. And boy, the minute that knowing came upon me, I began to understand what he wanted me to share with you this morning. And many of you have received a word from God. Matter of fact, pretty near everyone in here has received a word from God. Now, whether it was time, I don't know why the reason is that you hadn't seen it come to pass. But how many of you know when God gives you a word, he intends for it to come to pass? How many of you got a word from God, but you haven't really seen it come to pass yet? You know, a lot of times when you don't see something come to pass, it isn't God that's the problem. The problem is you. And over a course of time, if you're not careful, you can lose confidence in that word. You can allow other things to enter in and choke it from you. But you have to know one thing. The thing that is so important to you is when you receive a word from God, you take that word, you put it in the good ground, and you let it take root. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to talk about the Shunammite woman. She was a wonderful woman. She really honored God and God's anointed. And as the story goes, this certain woman noticed that there was a man of God that went periodically by her place. And so finally one day she says to her husband and knows with her, I detect he's a man of God. Let's do something for him. Let's make a chamber for him and give him honor. And when he comes, he can be there and a place where he can rest and from his journeys and we could feed him and take care of him. And so she began to do that for the man of God. And one day the man of God says to his servants, this lady, she's really taken good care of us. I'm just reading you the story, paraphrasing the story. She has done such a marvelous job. I want you to go to her and ask her what she needs. Just want to do something for her. And the servant goes to her and says, hey, you've been taking such good care of us. What can we do for you? What can God do for her? Well, actually, it was, what can the king do for you? And she said, well, I don't really have anything particular I need. He says, okay. And so he goes back to the prophet and says, well, she doesn't really have anything she needs. She's okay. But I have noticed that she doesn't have children. And the prophet says, well, go to her and tell her she's going to have a child. She's going to be with child this time next year. And so the servant went back to the woman and called her to the door and said, hey, you're going to be with child. The prophet wanted me to give you a word. You're going to be with child. You're going to have a son. This be here next year. And she said, Now, evidently, that's what was in her heart. Because she said, now, don't you lie to me. So the prophet had given her a word. And so she says, okay, don't lie to me. And as the story goes, that she conceived, and because her husband was old, but so it had to be God, she conceived and had a son. And let's go to chapter 4 of 2 Kings. Let's go to verse 11. And it happened one day that he came there and turned into the upper room and laid down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. And he said to her, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. And the woman conceived and bore a son. The appointed time had come of which Elisha had told her. So the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, my head, my head. And so he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. And then he saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward and do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was that when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, there is the Shunammite woman. Please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. Now, when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. And she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? And when he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. And if you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. And you know the story that he finally went to his chamber and raised the boy back to life. Now, why did I even bring this story up? Well, if you will, real quick, like, turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. This morning, as I was reading this story, the Lord spoke to me and said, he has given many of you a specific word for a specific reason, for a specific time. And you've even received it. But over the course of time, you wasn't doing some things that were necessary for you to harvest that word that he has given you. How many of you know God is not a man that he should lie? When he gives you a word, he gives it to you for a meaning or a purpose, whether it's positive or whether it's negative. And yes, God can speak something to you to warn you about things. How many of you know that? And you need to take heed to it, because he wouldn't tell it to you for a reason. Now, in Mark chapter 4, I want you to notice something that's very interesting. It says here, the parable of the sower, it says the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside when the word is sown, and when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Now let's go back to the Shunammite woman. There were five interesting things about her life that you and I need to take a look at, especially when God gives you a word. Number one, she was approached by the word of God first. How many of you know that when you came into the kingdom of God, the first thing is God approached you with his word? Amen? Now it's up to you what you're going to do with the word once you are approached with it. Number one is you have to receive it. That is the first thing you have to do. You have to receive it. She received that word. Now notice number three about this Shunammite woman. When she endured affliction and persecution, she did not remove herself from the word that the man of God had given her. She didn't remove herself from it. Very interesting. Why didn't she remove herself from it? Well, she put her affliction right where she received her word, her child. Take him up to the prophet's chamber. Put him right there where I had received from the man of God a word that I was going to have a son. Now, this is over a process of time because the boy was big enough to go out and work in the fields. What does that mean? When she got the word, she got the child, and evidently the word had taken root in her. She had received it. Now, as the story goes, she immediately acted on the word. She went back to the word in spite of something. Now, most of us look over here in Mark 4 and we say right away, well, the devil immediately came and snatched the word from me. You know, I've noticed something about someone taking the word from anybody. There's only one person responsible for taking the word from you. And his name is not Satan. His name is spelled Y-O-U. You. Why, oh, you? You? You're responsible? Well, how did you receive it? How did you receive the word that God had given you? I don't know what that word is, but in time past, you had received it, and God gave it to you. I can't tell you what word he gave you, but I know that if he gave you a word, it was good. How did you receive it? Well, it says, after a while, Satan could come and do something with the word that was given to him. Why? Because that word wasn't taking any root. You know what? How can you get a crop out of seed that has no root in it? It's because you got to plant it in yourself. You got to put it in you in such a way that it will take root. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. That's what you read as you go on here. So in order for you to see the fruit of what God has told you, it's got to remain in you. It can't be taken out of you. Well, here's very interesting. Verse 16, the word received in the Greek is the Greek word lambano, which literally means you were happened to be at the right place at the right time. You wasn't necessarily looking for a word of God. It just fell on you and you liked it. But there was something that Satan noticed in you that you probably didn't notice within yourself. Even though you had received that word and you took it with gladness and liked it, you didn't do anything with it. It didn't take no root in you. Some of us receive a word from God very cheaply. He said it, well, he'll make it come to pass. Baloney. When he says it, you got to do something to make sure that word takes root on the inside of you. Not just say, well, God gave it to me, it'll work. That's kind of like some of the doctrines we hear today. The sovereignty of God. Well, I got news for you. God came and planted his promises in your lap for you to do something with those promises. You're the one in charge of your household, not the devil. But you know what? I'm going to grace you guys a little bit today because we have a soul that contains two minds. One is called the mind of the flesh and the other is called the mind of the spirit. They're both within that one soul. Like a cartoon, devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other. And that's really the way it is in your soul. That's why how you think. You have one speaking and one speaking. You got them both going off on the inside of you. And one of them voices have got to be ignored. And we find that the Shunammite woman learned how to ignore one voice in her soul. What voice did she ignore? The one that was distressed. The one that was in pain. The one that was attached to this realm and knew quite well that that was the fulfillment of her soul in her son because God gave her that word. But in spite of what her soul said, she went right back to the man of God and said, "Did I not say, don't lie to me?" Yeah. You know, some of you guys ought to stand up and say, "God, you gave me a word and you're not a liar." Yeah. Hallelujah. But many of you have listened to the devil. The devil is not your problem. The problem is you've listened to that carnal mind speak against the word that God had given you. And over time, it will increase if you keep listening to that stupid head of yours. Yeah. We're always going to blame the devil. Oh, God gave me a word and the devil took it. No, he didn't. Devil didn't take nothing. Devil just took advantage of what you didn't put root in. That's all. Many of you have come up for healing, and many of you have come up for many things. And by the time you've gone back to your seat and sat down, you didn't even know why you even came forward. You just felt it was the right thing to do. Then why bother your time to come up here if you didn't receive something and go sit back down? I'll tell you how you'll uproot a word that God gives you with your big, fat mouth. What's in this water? Am I telling the truth here? By the time we said that, well, I guess I didn't get anything. Well, how do you know? Well, I didn't feel anything. What's feeling got to do with it? Well, I didn't hear nothing. What's hearing got to do? If you went for something, doesn't that account for what you went for? That'd be like saying, I'm going to go to the table, sit down and have breakfast. And go and sit down and my wife would put the breakfast before me and I said, I know I'm going to have breakfast. I know I'm going to have it. And get up from the table and walk away. How come you didn't give me breakfast? My wife would look at me and say, well, you're the dummy. Eat it. Notice the Shunammite woman fell at his feet and he could discern that her soul was grieved and vexed within her. But in spite of that, she clung to the word of God. Many of us have allowed our carnal mind to do the talking when it should do the walking. And that's what she did. She walked to the man of God, back to the word of God that was given to her, in spite of what her head was saying. Matter of fact, they asked, how are you? She said, it is well. You know, too many times, our carnal mind, because it's made up of the senses, it doesn't know God. It knows about God, but it doesn't know God. It can never conform to the character of God or the image of God. That's why you can't use your carnal mind to discern the kingdom of God. It takes your spiritual mind to do that. That's why Paul says a guy that speaks another tongue, he's edified because he's not speaking to men, he's speaking to God. And God gives him something out of the edification of his soul. What? Not his carnal mind. He bypasses that by using a language that will give him the understanding of something. It comes and he says, then he's edified and then he can give it to the church and the church is edified by it. You can't even talk to God out of your carnal head and expect the carnal head to come up with a word from God. It can receive a word from God, but it's up to you what you're going to do with the word of God. See, many of us, God told me one day, I said, God, I know I should do that. And I didn't do it. Why didn't I do it? And he says, well, because you deceived yourself. I said, well, how did I deceive myself? He says, you're hearing, but you're not doing. If you're not a doer of the word, you're self-deceived. But if you hear the word and then do it, he says, then you're not self-deceived. Well, that's hard on us, isn't it? I'm going to another church that doesn't make it so complicated. I'll tell you, the carnal mind, it will tell you where to go, what to hear, what to wear, what to put on, what to take off. It'll tell you anything but what the kingdom of God has got to say for you. That Shunammite woman should have had, if it was her carnal mind that was in charge, if you read that story according to her carnal mind, that son wouldn't be up in that upper room. She'd be coming to the man of God with a spear. He lied to me and I'm thrusting him through. I've had Christians actually tell me that they couldn't trust God because he lied to them. I got to thinking, are you a believer? Are you a Christian? If God gave you a word and you don't see it coming to pass, God isn't the problem. You're the problem. You've got to do something with the word that you hear. Now, I could tailor this message according to the promises of God, but I'm getting down more personal with you this morning. God told me, it isn't just a promise that he has given you, although he has given you promises. But he's also given you personal words for a direct leading, and you didn't obey him. And as a result of that direct leading, you're not seeing things like you want to see them. You're not performing the way he asked you to perform. See, there's a lot that you're responsible for. And God will back up the word that he gives you that you're responsible for. Not him, you. That would be like saying, now that I've had children, whatever I tell them, I will do for them in spite of them. Some believers want to believe that's the gospel. But you and I are to be held responsible for what God has given us. And we got to go after it. And this Shunammite woman, like I said, the guy was old enough to work into the fields. We don't know how old he was. But evidently the word that God had given her endured over a period of time. Because even in affliction and persecution, the enemy couldn't even steal the boy, the child from her, because the word was already taken root in her in spite of her natural mind. See, Satan will go after your natural mind because your natural mind, all as it'll do is agree with the word, but your spiritual mind is what really caused that seed to take root in you. And if you neglect so great a salvation, it'll drift by you, and when you need it, it won't work for you. Why? Because the authority that is in you is more in your head than your spirit. We serve God out of our spirit, people, not out of our head. Not out of our flesh. That's why so many people don't realize that flesh can produce nothing. It's graveyard material. You know, 1 Peter 5:8 says, Satan goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Boy, the writer sure worded that well. Do you know a lion, when it stalks his prey, he don't go around roaring? He's stealth-like. Creeps up on everything. And then he snatches it. Then he roars. Lets everybody know, don't come around my meal. This is mine. Matter of fact, where that's even mentioned over in 1 Peter 5, towards the end of it, he says, that's the way Satan operates. He goes after whom he may devour. You know, a lot of times God will give you a word, and the devil will come in and slap you and take it from you. Why? Because he can. Why? Because he observes you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows right where you're at. And if he can take you, and you know what? He's patient. You know, the devil is a more patient, subtle guy on planet Earth. He will let you get, he'll treat you just like a frog in a frying pan. You take a frog and you put him in water and you turn the stove on and leave him in, he'll die. You'll cook him right in that water. He won't jump out. And the enemy will slowly simmer you and everything. And then you wake up one morning and all of a sudden he's got his latches all over you and you scream, "Eek, how did this happen?" Well, I'm going to tell you something about God. When God gives you a word, he expects you to be diligent with it. He has a way of saying things in such a way that your soul, your carnal mind, can't control you. In other words, he won't give you over to your natural thinking, because that's what the devil uses to get to you. Spiritually. A little sleep, a little folding of the hands. And the next thing you know, you're broke like an arm, like you've been taken over by an armed bandit. You know, some believers, they don't know what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. There's something happens to them tragically, and they say, "Well, I know one thing, I'm not going to blame God." I hope not. Because evidently there was something on the inside of you God couldn't catch your attention that was going to happen to you that shouldn't happen. Why do those bad things happen to me? Because you're walking around on planet Earth with blinders on your eyeballs. God expects you to be alert to your surroundings. He expects you to be awake and diligent at your walk as a child of God. Because I'm going to tell you something. Once you become a child of God, you've got a wanted poster on Satan's wall, because he don't like believers. He hates them. And any way that he can come at you, one way that he can come at you is your natural mind. Do you know our success in the kingdom of God is when he gives you a word and you know how to anchor it. You know how to put roots to it, to that seed, and anchor it in your soul. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. God told me many of you are neglecting your salvation. And you need to stop that. You need to get back to where your first love always is, where God has a preeminence. There ain't nothing on this planet Earth that is worthy of preeminence over the kingdom of God or the house of God. There ain't nothing. You have to be willing to give it up. In Hebrews chapter 6, notice this, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, verse 18, that we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And notice what he's saying here. Our soul has an anchor. Now, the forerunner that he's talking about here is not like Joshua and Moses, Elijah or Elisha. That's not the forerunner he's talking about. A forerunner that he's referring to is a forerunner of a ship. And in Jesus' time period, there were ships that would settle in into fog. And sometimes fog and rough waters. And so you had a forerunner that would stand at the front of the boat and he'd have a rope tied around his waist. And what he would do is he would leap into the water and swim between the rocks, get up on shore and take the rope, and he would tie the rope or anchor it around something solid so the ship would not drift away and so that everybody else could be safe to come ashore through the anchoring of what the forerunner did to secure the boat. And Jesus, he went to heaven. heaven itself for you and I, and he secured our faith to the anchor of the throne of the living God. And he says, now all you have to do is when you receive a word from God, your hope in that word is like an anchor to your soul. You can trust on it. You can rely on it and go right back to God that gave it to you the day that he gave you that word and declare it steadfast and unmovable and sure. The only reason you might have lost it is because you wasn't diligent. You allowed cancer to set into your life. Lethargicness and slack and not on the cutting edge of diligence. There is a place in the Word of God that tells us what to do when we receive the Word of God. And that is where 2 Peter chapter 1 comes in, adding to your faith things that are important for that Word to flourish in you. I always tell my staff, and my wife knows it, every morning, I'll get up and when I receive a fresh revelation from the Word of God, a brand new revelation from the Word of God, I'll sit there and I'll go over that revelation for weeks on end. Go over it and meditate on it and put it in my mind and go over it again and connect to it. Because my carnal mind doesn't know how to connect to the Word of God. But my spiritual mind does. And that's where I let my spiritual mind come to the forefront. I'm not going to serve the good or the acceptable. I want to serve the perfect will of God. 30, 60, 100-fold. And until I get that revelation in my spirit so strong that no one can remove it from me, then I'm secure within myself. It is an anchor to my soul. So much so that when I share it with others, the others can't snatch it from me through their disagreement. Well, what are you, a nutcase? That's not possible. Can't move me one bit. Oh, it anchored in my soul. This is how I see. And man, I'll never forget one minister. He came down on me. He said, "What? You don't believe that, do you?" And I just sat there and I just kept preaching what I believed. And what happened? A little while later, he came back to me and says, "Pastor Butler, I need to sit down with you." Okay. So we sat down. He goes, "I'm sorry what you shared with me. It wouldn't leave me. I couldn't get over it. It kept coming back to haunt me." And he says, "I want to ask you a little bit of questions about it." And so he asked me and I answered and he goes, "Oh, wow. Wow, that's different. I got it. I could have died and gone to heaven. But even though he crushed me on the surface, that's just my carnal mind. The spirit of rejection hurts you in the natural. But I tell you, when you're solid in the spirit, don't matter. A storm could blast through your life and you're still sitting there and all that's left in you is God. That's sufficient enough. And finally I said, "God, why didn't he hear it the first time?" He says, "Because you were trying to make him hear it." He says, "All I do is call you to preach the truth and let me give the increase." You know, we seem to forget God can talk to you. We as ministers, we seem to forget God can talk to you. So rather than sitting there arguing with you, just tell you the truth. And God will make it work out. Why? You sit there and go, I gotta check this thing out if it's really true or not. And that's what he did. He went in there. He said, no. Well, how can you expect a guy, here you take 30 some years of salvation, you come across a revelation one day and expect somebody to throw it on somebody and somebody else get it? Oh, I got it. No, you got to meditate things through. John was talking in Sunday school how a cow has three stomachs. Yep. To change green grass into milk. Yep. How many of you have ever taken a blade of grass and squeeze that sucker till it turned white? I guarantee you won't do it. I've eaten grass. Have you eaten grass before? I've eaten green grass before. I didn't get nothing white out of it. Just a soggy bunch of straw. The Holy Ghost knows how to digest things in us. We don't need to let the devil sit there and come to our carnal mind and tell us something. If we've received it spiritually, then sit there and meditate on it. Digest it till it comes out pure white milk. To where nobody can steal it from you. Some of you have been given a word and you haven't done anything with it because you're just not interested. You need to get back to it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, go there. I hope I stepped on everybody's toes this morning. Do you guys like me? In 2 Peter chapter 1, let's go to verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Jesus and of Jesus our Lord. The word for knowledge there is epignosis, referring to revelation. Revelation knowledge. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That means natural life and spiritual life. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now I want you to notice something. He says diligence. Diligence is very important to add to your faith. It means a zeal, an urge, a speed, a hastening, a pressing, an endeavor, a readiness, attention, hardworking, not negligent, eagerness, faithfully committed to pursue continually. That's who I am as your pastor. That's who I am with the Word of God. I pursue it every day. I get into it every day. I talk about it every day. I talk about it to my staff. I talk about it to my wife. I talk about it to everyone. I am diligent at going after the Word of God. I am diligent when it comes to the Word of God. Can you say you're diligent coming to the Word of God? Or have you heard it one time and think you know it? So I know the diligence has to be the very first thing. Second thing is virtue, moral excellence, godliness in action, superior in being, pleasing to God, a throwing oneself beyond what's expected. It means a strength in character. You want to be what God has called you to be. You're His righteousness. He's made you His righteousness. You want to be that righteousness. You want to force yourself to be righteous in everything that you say and you do and you speak. Are you following me? That has got to be in you. Most Christians, they could care less whether there's any virtue in adding to their faith. Knowledge, it means a deeper understanding, a more thorough participation, inquiring of the knowledge on the part of the learner. You want to stretch yourself. You want to know beyond that which is natural. You want to go beyond that which is into supernatural. And this one is hard for every one of us. I'm working on it right now. Self-control. That means to say no to the things that want to take you out of a disciplined pattern that destroys God's ability to preserve you from wrong desires. It keeps everything in its right perspective and priorities. keeps everything in its right perspective and priorities. You never, never put Jesus in the back. You always put Him in the preeminent place in front of you. Perseverance. Another hard one. It means endurance, patience, the ability to remain until your purpose in God comes to pass. The ability to complete the promises He's given you. When He gave you a word, He expects you to have the endurance to see to it that it will come to pass. Then He goes on and concludes it with four little things. That you'll never be barren, you'll not be unfruitful, you won't be short-sighted, and you'll never stumble. What does that mean, barren? You never feel useless. No self-esteem, no influence, a feeling of nothing accomplished. That will not be a part of you when you take diligence and begin to add to your faith and the word that God has given you. Unfruitful, you'll never be unfruitful. You'll always bear much fruit. Short-sighted means no good judgment, no discernment. Can't see things of God. That's why a lot of believers are sitting there and they're in Christ and they expect God to do everything. They run into a brick wall and they sit there and fall down and say, well, how did this happen to me? Because God gave you a word and you're wandering around aimlessly. And He gave you a word to lead you and you're sitting there going every other which way. Then He intended for you to go. I like this one, never stumble. You know what that means? You'll never be easily offended. Some believers, man, if you don't walk on eggshells around, they will come back and they will swat you alongside the head. Why? Do you know what you said to me? Yeah, I do. Do you know what that did? Yeah, I do. Well, that offended me. I would me too if I was where you were at. Oh, shut up, Jan. Well, you're all ready for communion now. So ushers come forward. They got a lot of forgiving me for the message this morning. And let's get these trays here. And we're going to pass out the communion trays. And you're going to forgive me for the message I gave you this morning, but you're going to go right back to God when God gave you that word. I don't know what that word was. It might have been a promise out of His word. He might have given you a leading of the Spirit. He might have told you what not to do, and you went ahead and did it anyway. These things have got to be dealt with, so you go back to the word that God had given you and commit yourself to that word. I know what it's like when God starts dealing with me. I hate everybody, and I want to go just the opposite God told me to go. And when that's the case, it's because my flesh is in control. My flesh has to be dethroned almost daily. You know, we're studying the mind on Sunday night. And you guys are all starting to get it. Some of you guys are starting to get it. Even I'm starting to get it. But what you're asking me... A lot of you come up with questions, I go, oh, I never saw that, but I act like I know it. Yeah. I don't know how many times I go, oh, God, I hope I said it was right and found out it wasn't. Just got to work on it. Got to work on it. And, you know what? This morning, people, listen to me. When God gave you a word, He didn't give it because He wants to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to do the opposite. He wants to give something back to you. He wants to get you into a place that you'll live life more abundantly. Just here this morning, I had found that as a husband of my wife, I need to be more diligent over her in prayer. And to believe God for what's in her heart and what she wants. I'm copping out to you, honey. And I said, you know what, God, I'm going to do that. My wife is precious to me. If she has a concern in her heart, I want it my concern. I want to pray for her. You know, that is so important. Yeah, your pastor is copping out even this morning. that I hadn't been diligent with praying for my wife and caring for her like I should. In certain areas, not all areas. I treat you okay, right, Sue? but there are some areas that is real a concern of her that I haven't made a concern of me. You know, just like we as a body, a church body, when one member suffers, we should all suffer. You know, one brother got out, he was so upset because he didn't know Cordella passed away. And he was mad at us. And I said, you know something? I'm glad you're that way. Because you care about her. I'm glad you're that way. I didn't look at him as, well, if you come to church more often, you'd figure that out, you know. That's what I wanted to say to him. But I didn't. Oh, I hope he's not here. He's not. But I got to thinking, well, that's the way you should feel. You know, if somebody's sick or somebody in the hospital or somebody passed away, it should affect you if you didn't know it. Right? Hallelujah. I'd sure hate to croak and then have none of you know it. How come Pastor Jan hasn't been to the pulpit lately? I'd be up in heaven saying, God, do something with that church down there. Praise God. Thank God. I'll be around a while. Amen.
Yep.
I noticed she didn't say amen. The whole object of communion is to really look back and remember it's for what the body of Christ is all about. That's what the communion elements are referring to. Is the church of the living God in the earth. And, you know, you see thousands of believers sitting at home not even attending a church and not realizing one thing that they're going to miss is communion. Because communion is what literally causes a body to heal itself up so that it's not broken, but intact. And acknowledgement of the shedding of Jesus' life, which is the purification of us forgiving and going on because we now have that same life in us. And so really communion is a beautiful thing for us to partake of because it means once we've taken communion and we walk out those doors, in remembrance of Him, we're where God wants us. And if you're not a member of the body of Christ, then you can't be cleansed. You're broken off from the church. I'm not talking about just our church, but any church. There is no perfect church. Not even this one. Kind of perfect, but... But in the night that Jesus was betrayed, one last thing He wanted to do, and that is to establish communion for the body of Christ. He knew there would be a universal body and a local body. He knew it. And so He wanted to leave us this example. And He said His body was shed so that we would remain intact. So that we would be unbroken. Now our translators put in there, take the bread which is broken for you. Actually, it's not in any text. He didn't shed his life. He didn't give His body that we would be broken off. He gave it that we would remain intact. And so right now, if you can think of anything or any reason why you would be odd with anybody, maybe the word that I was talking about today that God had given you, maybe you've abandoned that word and you need to get back to it and obey it. Maybe that's what you need to take a look at when we're going to take the bread in just a moment. Maybe that's what you need to look at. Because that word that God had given you, whether it's a direct promise out of the Word of God or whether it's a leading of the Spirit or even an acknowledgement of a walk of the Spirit, if you haven't been obeying it, then right now, take this bread right now and eat in remembrance of Him For if you would judge yourself, then you would not be found in judgment. Go ahead and take heed. And in that same night in which he had, they all partook of the bread together. He said the blood was symbolic of how the body of Christ is cleansed by the shedding of that. So let's go ahead and drink. Hallelujah. If you will, just pass your cups to the center aisles. Hallelujah. You know, it's really strange. Almost every communion, maybe I shouldn't tell you this, I've had to always deal with something. No wonder he did the foot washing, you know. Sometimes we just have to deal with cleansing our walk with somebody, because all of us are accountable for something we've done. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you guys get something out of today? When we close, we're going to have an altar call. And let's do something a little different here this morning than we normally do. Well, we can still ask for those of you that want to receive Jesus and so forth. But those of you that would like me to come into agreement with you by laying my hands on you, and I will come into agreement with you that you will go back to that place when you were given, just like that Shunammite woman, were given that word, and that you're going to commit to it afresh again. And you're not going to allow your soul to talk you out of what God has given you. Because see, her soul could have talked her out of it. It was very distressed. But she knew that if she clung to that word, then the soul would have to submit. And look at the soul. That carnal mind got her child back. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual thing. Hallelujah. So right now, everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God this morning. I thank you for communion too. To be honorable and looking back in remembrance of you. And Father, this morning you said you have given the word to many of them here. You've given them warnings. You've told them things that they needed to do and they haven't done them. And through the communion, Father, that they made a commitment they're going to do it. And so, Father, when we go ahead and close this service, Father, we want to pray for every one of them. And if they feel led to come forward and have me come into agreement by laying hands on them, Father, you're going to rekindle afresh that word that you have given them. And Father, may they give heed to it and walk in it. Father, it's so important for them. Father, it's important that they respond and be obedient to that word, because you didn't give it to them for nothing. But you gave it to him for a purpose. Father, when you gave that child back to the Shunammite woman, she did an honorable thing that would be remembered for eon and eon of ages, of her strength within herself. And in spite of what she was thinking in the natural, she still said, "It is well." Father, I honor her for knowing how to quiet her soul. There was in much distress because of affliction and persecution. I know my arch enemy Satan hates it when we have an anchor to our soul, because then he can't pull us from the ship to be drowned in the sea. His Father, as we call now the altar, if there be anybody here that has never given their life to the Lord and you'd like to do that, just feel free to come forward right now, anybody. If you've never been baptized in the fullness of the Spirit, all the Lord would love to fill you to overflowing. The Holy Spirit is so important, especially when it comes with that wonderful language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I trust that you restored your walk. But right now, those who want salvation or restoration or the infilling of the Spirit, come forward right now. Anybody? Hallelujah. Anybody? Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Anyone else? Feel free. Anyone else? Hallelujah. 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 Don't hesitate. Come up. You're important to God this morning. You're important to God. And I'll tell you, every one of you that have come up here, I guarantee you, you know what word God has given you. When you leave here today, get alone with Him. Refreshen yourself with that word. Refreshing yourself with it. And then act on it. Hallelujah. Because you know what? We hinder Him from moving on our behalf if we lose the importance of that word. Now, I can't define it to you. Only God. And thank God that you know what that word is. If you don't know what it is, you shouldn't be up here. But He's given it to you because you know what He said. And so when I go by and I touch you, I'm validating the fact that my word that I have given you this morning is going to meet you where your hearts are at, and you're going to begin to work right from there. Do you guys agree with that? Hallelujah. You know? Hallelujah. 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 You see, you, when God gives words, it's because you're important to Him. You're important to Him. You're important to the kingdom. You're not just a number, a statistic. Every one of you, every one of you, I guarantee every one of you, if you went to God and asked for the number of the hairs on your head, the original account, He could tell you what it is. That's how important you are. But when He moves in my heart like He did this morning, and says, I want my people to get back to the word I have given them, then you've got to do it. And I'm not talking about a whole bunch of words. I'm talking about something specific that meant something very dear to you, and you have not obeyed it. Hallelujah. 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 Now that we're going to do this, the rest of you, I'm going to dismiss you. Exit quietly while I pray for the ones up here. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. May they have a blessed day. May we see them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.